I'm not a big poetry fan, but I read this poem this week and it really moved me. The poem is in your notes, but I'll be putting it on the screen. When fishes flew and forests walked and figs grew upon thorn, some moment when the moon was blood, then surely I was born. With monstrous head and sickening cry and ears like errant wings, the devil's walking parody of all four-footed things. The tattered outlaw of the earth, of ancient crooked will, starve, scourge, deride me. I am dumb. I keep my secret still. Fools, for I also had my hour, one far fierce hour and sweet. There was a shout about my ears and palms before my feet. There was an amazing donkey, of course, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I want to read the story from the Gospel according to Mark. The amazing thing about Mark is that his is the shortest gospel. He gives the shortest account of this story, and he tells something that Matthew and Luke totally miss. If you read Matthew and Luke, you'd think that Jesus rode into town and then cleared out the temple right away. Hear the story from the Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and he told them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as soon as you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here right away.'" So they went and found a young donkey outside in the street, tied by a door. They untied it, and some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing untying the donkey?" They answered them just as Jesus had said, so they let them go. Then the disciples brought the donkey to Jesus and threw their robes on it, and Jesus sat on it. Many people spread their robes in the road, and others spread leafy branches cut from the fields. And then those who went ahead and those who followed kept shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple complex. After looking around at everything, since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the days of the Exodus from Egypt, you sent a donkey to speak to a hireling prophet. In the days of your servant Jesus, you sent a donkey to deliver an important message. He challenges us to exalt Christ all the more. Let us hear the word that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, a donkey spoke. You know the story about Balaam and the donkey that spoke to him. Strange story. But now a silent donkey speaks. Let's look again at the poem for a moment before we approach the word of God. There's our friend. He needs a hug, right? What does this mean? When fishes flew and forests walked and figs grew upon thorn. Some moments when the moon was blood. What are all those things? They're all absurdities, aren't they? They're absurd. They're ridiculous. And in the midst of absurdity, I must have been born and nobody noticed. I wasn't a needle in a haystack. I was a piece of hay in the haystack. No one noticed. I was ridiculous. Really? How ridiculous were you? In what way, donkey, are you ridiculous? Well, I got this monstrous head and sickening cry. I got ears like errant wings. I think the devil was having a good time one day, and he created this caricature, this joke, this cartoon of all four-footed animals, and that's what I am, a product of the devil. Really, donkey? Yeah. In fact, let me tell you how bad it is. You know how people treat me? They treat me like the tattered outlaw of the earth of ancient crooked will. So they starve, scourge, deride me because I'm dumb. Must be rough, donkey. Oh, I have a secret. I have a secret. The donkey's absurd, isn't it? But aren't we? What do I mean by that? Well, maybe you feel... How many of you have ever, you don't have to raise your hand, looked in the mirror and not liked what looked back? I mean, constantly. That's my story of my life. I'm not athletic. I'm too fat. I'm too thin. I'm too stupid. I'm too smart. I'm being abused. I'm being mistreated. I'm being controlled by other people. Sound donkey-like? I'm injured. I'm hurt. And sometimes I wonder what it's all for. But how absurd are we? Let me ask you a question. Whose image do you bear? God's image. Perfect. I finally taught something. You bear God's image, don't you? How righteous is God? He is righteousness. Genesis 1:27 tells us that God created man in His own image. In Psalm 92:15, I just use this as one of 100 verses I could have picked. The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in Him. True? How much unrighteousness is there in God's image bearers? Psalm 14:3 says, all have turned away. All alike have become corrupt. There is no one who does good. And if you didn't get the message, not even one. How absurd are we? The unrighteous image bearers of the all-righteous God. How absurd is that? How stupid is that? How true is that? I feel donkeyish. But the donkey has a secret. What gives the donkey his sense of identity? Verses 1 to 6 tell us that donkey was called by God. That donkey was chosen by God. And in verses 1 to 6, a donkey who had no concept of what it was doing except standing outside the door, not much that he could do about it because he was tied there. Ever feel tied to a situation you can't get away from? Under control? Donkeyish. Jesus said, release that donkey. I have a purpose for it. Now, what kind of donkey was this? This was a young donkey, a colt, a foal. It had never been ridden by anyone. How many of you farmers know anything about that? Do you ride an unbroken donkey? No, you do not ride an unbroken donkey. You can fall from one. You can look weirder than the donkey by the time it's all over with, right? How many people can see that there's a miracle that just happened right there? Now Jesus climbed onto this donkey who said, sure, no sweat. How prone are we to bear the Lord? or are we unbroken donkeys? Who cast the Lord off whenever it gets uncomfortable? Do you feel donkeyish? Well, what you are is called by God. Every person who has come to Jesus Christ in faith is called by God. And I mean everyone. No, wait a minute. I'm in my 60s. I'm in my 70s. I'm in my 80s. I'm injured. I'm infirm. I'm old. I'm tired. I'm hurt. I got this condition for which you're called by God. You're called by God. Every one of you. And that gives the donkey his purpose and it gives you yours. God has purpose for you. In verses 7 through 10, what did the donkey do? He displayed Christ. He displayed salvation to the people. He paraded salvation before the watching world. Now, what are you supposed to do? Same thing. Greetings, fellow donkeys. I feel absurd. I am absurd. If God had any good sense, He wouldn't choose something as ugly and as donkeyish as I am. God says, good, perfect. Who does God choose? The least likely or the most likely? Why am I your pastor? Bingo. Gold star for the man. Because I'm the least likely. God chooses the least likely. Why? So that it's not my ability that you're seeing, it's His. So that He can show off. He brought salvation to the people. He displayed salvation. He exalted Christ. But there's something else about the donkey. That's not readily apparent, but it's there. The donkey couldn't go into the temple. The donkey took Jesus as far as Jesus would let the donkey take him. There came the point when Jesus got off the donkey and went into the temple complex. Now, let me ask you a serious question. If the king of Israel, and that's who Jesus is, right? The rightful king of Israel. If the king of Israel comes into the temple, should anyone greet him? What do you think? Any thoughts? Wouldn't you, if you were the high priest, what would you be doing? Someone says, the king is coming into the temple. Say, hey, I'm playing pinochle. I got better things to do than greet the king. Any of you think that's what would happen? What would the high priest do if the king came into the temple? He'd be out there. What happened here? It says in verse 11, Jesus went into the temple, into Jerusalem, and into the temple complex. And after looking around at everything, since it was already late, He went out to Bethany with the 12. The thing that I have always, I tell you, for years, Mark has puzzled me. Because if you read Matthew and Luke, as I said, you'd think that Jesus immediately cleared all the money changers and things out of the temple. He did that the next day. Mark tells you that this grand parade, marching into Jerusalem, people shouting, Hosanna, ended up in... Nothing happened. Didn't it? I mean, is that what the Scripture says? Am I telling you what the Word of God says? The Word of God says this whole thing ended up in a tremendous anticlimax. Just like the whole thing collapsed. What did those people do days later? Were they shouting Hosanna days later? What were they shouting? Crucify Him! The priests who should have greeted Him were deriding Him. Now they ignored Him. What does John tell us in John chapter 1, verse 10? He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And here it is, in perfect display. The world is indifferent to Jesus, and now our lives are getting later in the week. And what's happening? Indifference has become hostility. But where's the donkey? The donkey disappears. Vanishes from the pages of Scripture. We never hear from him again. Or her. Why? You and I, as people who bear Jesus Christ, need to see it's not about us. It's about who we carry, who we show, who we display. I was listening to a lecture this week by a Muslim, a former Muslim. He's a Christian. And he said that his mother taught him from childhood on, you are a Muslim, you have a Muslim appearance, you have a Muslim name, everyone who meets you will know you're a Muslim. You have to represent Allah gloriously. Who are you representing? The one true living God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's an awful lot of donkey in me. But I have a secret. I have a Christ who's forgiven me by dying on the cross for me. I have a Christ who's risen from the dead, and we celebrate that in a week. We have an eternal future with the one who loves us more than our donkeyness deserves. Whatever you feel about yourself, whatever donkeyish thoughts you have about yourself, do you bear Christ? Don't keep it a secret. We're here to glorify Him. We're here to magnify Him. Next week, we are going to celebrate the resurrection. Who will be here to celebrate it with you? Will you leave this place this morning? Will you spend the rest of this week carrying Christ so that others might see Him? And what did the people shout? They shouted, Hosanna, which means, does anyone know? It means save us. Literally, it means save now. Save us. When people see Jesus in you, will they shout to Him and say, I need to be saved? We are going to sing number 659, Lead On, O King Eternal. And if God has spoken to you about Jesus Christ and you're saying, save me now, I do need Him. Preacher may be a donkey, but I've seen Jesus and I need Him. God has spoken to you about that. You can come and ask me and I will get you the help you need. Maybe God has spoken to you about church membership or baptism. If so, that's between you and God. You can come and talk with me about that. Maybe God has spoken to you about some things He needs to correct. You can do business with Him in your seat. Put the hymnal aside and do business with Him. Let's stand as we sing. Lead on, O King Eternal.
Lead on, O King Eternal. The day of March has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, Thy tent shall be our home. Through days of preparation, Thy grace has made a call, and now, O King Eternal. sweet Amen of peace. For not with swords loud clashing, nor roll of stirring drums, with deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes. Lead on, O King eternal, we follow not with fears, for gladness breaks like morning wherever thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its might. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might.
It's our tradition to join our hands in a circle around this center section. And so we invite you to do that. Now we're going to sing The Bond of Love. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine on you by His grace. The Lord turn His smiling face to you and give you His peace.
We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love.
Remember the Good Friday service and Easter breakfast. Don't forget those things. And just a prayer announcement quick. My daughter-in-law, Jenny, will have the baby this week. They will induce her before Good Friday if they need to, but she will have the baby this week. So we appreciate your prayers.